John Hansen's in our studio. Hi, John.
Hello, John. How are you?
We hear you Monday through Thursday night at 6 o'clock.
Yep.
With your money.
Mm-hmm. All of it.
And then we hear you Saturdays.
At 1 o'clock most Saturdays.
And the name of that show is?
Let's Get Legal.
And then you fill in for my show and Lisa's show, John's show, as is necessary.
Yes, sir.
John's show. I guess that would be John.
I've done John Landecker, too.
Have you really?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
And you've done Surratt, so mm-hmm. you're a man of many talents. We hear you, of course, at Blackhawks games.
Thank you.
Yeah, as the arena host.
Are you doing that again this season?
Oh, yeah. Still doing it, for
Anything
sure.
Anything else I'm missing on your agenda?
Block Club Chicago. Our good friends there.
You've been saving a lot of money, haven't you?
Yes. There's a reason why I've been working 4 or 5 jobs for many, many years.
And what is that?
I've been saving. Well, I mean, first of all, I love all my gigs, first and foremost. I like being busy. My husband and I have been saving to have a kid. And we're excited to announce, as I did on Friday on The Bright Side, that we can officially announce that now 21 weeks pregnant, our surrogate is, that we're excited. We're expecting a baby in early March.
So you, like a lot of couples, wait until you get through that first trimester.
Yeah, and a little more.
Yeah. And normally that's the husband and wife.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're well aware of how the pregnancy is progressing. Who is going to bear your child then?
So maybe we can back up and talk about the two tracks that couples have to go through, gay couples have to go through. First of all, they could either choose adoption, which Enrique and I definitely talked about, considered, explored those options as well. But then we decided on this IVF and surrogacy track, which is two separate things for most couples, two men.
I want to just say this, too. Just dawned on me that I didn't maybe sufficiently congratulate you.
Oh, no, you did.
But you and I have had many tearful moments in the halls here with Pete, and so I'm fully aware of it, and I'm just so excited for you. Continue.
Yeah, thank you. So there's the making of the embryo stage, which is IVF, and a lot of couples are familiar with that. A lot of women, and I've learned so much more in the last year about IVF than I ever knew before, and have been in so many message groups, and so many of my friends that we've talked about, Enrique and I's journey on this, have come forward with how much they've struggled to create embryos and to make that happen, and still struggle with that. It's a harrowing experience, IVF, for a lot of couples. For Enrique and I, we got an egg donor through a clinic that then they have like a bank of people you can choose from. We know everything about her except her name, and we can know her photos. We know what she looks like, but we don't know who she is. We have no contact with our egg donor, who is the biological mother of our son to be in March.
How much do you know about the egg donor?
I know that her grandfather had gout when he was 40. I know what her parents' health history is, her health history.
Was she athletic? Is she blonde? Does she get good grades?
Yeah, good grades. She works in Chicago. She works in psychology, I know. She has a master's in that, I believe, if I'm remembering correctly. And when we were thumbing through the list of egg donors, you know, education looks at all, it's all kind of a crapshoot. You're just hoping that they're. I mean, it's such a strange thing to even go through. You're just going through all these profiles and you're reading their histories, their family's histories,
and swiping left.
Essentially, it is like it feels like that.
So you picked an attractive, smart, athletic person or something.
Something, and you pick that as a donor, and there's a timeline for that, and then they collect some of yours and, in my case, mine and Enrique's stuff, to put it nicely. And when they do this egg retrieval, and if anyone's ever been through IVF, it is a process in which they give the egg donor drugs to produce as many eggs as possible in one cycle. Those eggs are fresh and there are a batch of eggs to use. And in our case, I believe the number was 22 eggs from our egg donor.
Is that a lot?
That's a good amount.
Yeah.
Anywhere from 10 to 30 is pretty average in these retrievals. And they split them up 11 and 11. And 11 of them got some of my stuff, and 11 of them got Enrique's stuff. And then over the process of 5 days, we get updates on how many made it to maturity, how many are still alive, how many are now rolling as a solid clump of cells that will make up the baby one day. And then they freeze them. They test them genetically. They pull a little DNA out of the embryos as they're starting to grow. I don't think they're technically embryos at that point, but zygotes or whatever the case may be. And then they freeze them. They tell you how many are boys, how many are girls.
Really?
Yep. They tell you if there were any genetic issues.
So you and Enrique were then able to pick who would be the biological father and what gender that child would be.
Yes, you can do that. You could also ask the clinic to figure it out themselves. We decided to pick the person who is the biological father and, yeah, and pick the gender too, we did.
So what did you decide?
We picked a boy.
And who's the biological father?
I am, by the virtue of a coin flip.
I was just going to say, how do you make that decision?
There's no good way to do it. I mean, we'd be remiss if we didn't say, of course, each person kind of wants it to be, in the bottom of their heart, their biological kid. At the end of the day, all we cared about was a healthy baby, of course, 10 fingers, 10 toes, and all of that. But so the only logical thing we could come up with was flipping a coin.
So then, is more than one egg fertilized? You said several were.
Yeah, so I think the final number after all the testing that's been done, both Enrique and I have four healthy embryos that are now seven of them. So that's eight total. Seven are freezing. We froze them after we decided to send our first teammate in, and that goes into the gestational carrier, who is not the biological mother. No.
It's not the egg donor.
No.
Why doesn't the woman who donates the egg bear the child?
I think there's a lot of different reasons
why. She didn't
want
to would be one answer.
Right. I think they keep those things separately for a few different reasons.
But that's not typical.
No, it's not typical. No, as far as I know, for most researches, these are two separate processes happening at once. Our surrogate, and break any time you need to, John. Sorry, I don't have the clock that I'm looking at.
We got time.
Okay, thank you. Our surrogate was we matched with a surrogate.
Wait, surrogate is the egg donor or the...
Surrogate is the, who's bearing the child.
Who's going to have the child.
Yeah. Or gestational carrier, as they're called these days. Our surrogate, her journey is long too. Not anyone that wants to be a surrogate can be one. There's so many testing that needs to go into it. They need to be mothers. They need to have already had a child to kind of show that they have gone through that process without any hiccups or mistakes along the way or problems along the way. There's a lot of health screenings that they have to go through to be a surrogate. These are people that obviously do get paid for their services, but by and large, from my understanding and from most people I've chatted with, they do it also from the goodness of their heart and wanting to help a couple go through an experience that they went through and having a baby themselves.
And it could be a heterosexual couple too.
100%. Many of them. I was surprised that when we were at the IVF clinics doing all the everything, I never once saw another gay couple. It was all men and women there. So,
and this all went down, by the way, at the same time that the Supreme Court in...
Yes, in Alabama.
Did that stall your process?
No, not at all. I mean, Illinois is very...
Right, because we're in Illinois.
Supportive,
and that was the state.
I mean, it definitely... Emails were sent by our clinic to all the people going through it, explaining what was happening. There was enough worry that something would happen, I assume, that they wanted to allay those fears.
How much
people.
Of a concern is there that the woman who donated the egg... I wonder if her biology is not compatible with the woman that will bear the child. Is there a concern about that?
I don't think so. No.
That's not a thing.
There is a concern that if she's a genetic carrier for any diseases, would match poorly with Enrique and I. So Enrique and I had to go through all this genetic testing for 511 things that they can see about our genetics. Our egg donor has gone through genetic testing. It went through more. I found out I was a recessive carrier for cystic fibrosis, John. I had no idea.
Recessive.
Recessive, meaning I don't have it. I didn't have it. Either my mom or my dad are a carrier as well. They had no idea. No one in my family, as far as we know, has ever had cystic fibrosis. So you find, and about 1 in 26 white people from European descent, men, have cystic fibrosis that are a recessive carrier for. It's insane what the things you can learn about yourself are when you do this stuff. So since I was a recessive carrier, they had to make sure that our egg donor was not a recessive carrier as well. If we both had been, our baby would have had a 1 in 4 chance of having cystic fibrosis. We're getting in the weeds here a bit.
It's why I asked you to come on. Yeah. It's 11:45. But then I want to go to the next stage of this. John Hansen is here. You hear him Monday through Thursday nights talking money on WGN Radio at 6 o'clock. But we're obviously talking about this. He and his husband, Enrique, announced on our Bright Side of Life segment on Friday that they are expecting in March.
Mm-hmm.
A boy whose name they will not share with us for good reason. And John just got done telling us about the IVF portion.
Yeah,
of
the egg donor, the creation of the embryo part.
So then how many, did you say one then?
One.
Fertilized egg was implanted into the surrogate?
That's typically what they do now. There has been, so many stories of multiple implantations and, you know, then, and by the way, IVF babies are twice as likely to be twins than in the general population. Still less than normal. You know, it's not the normal occurrence, but they don't know why, but IVF babies are likely to split. So they just put one in.
We have about 6 minutes.
Okay.
So you told us about the what you knew about the egg donor. How much do you know about the then woman that's going to bury your child?
Yeah. So our surrogate is an extraordinary person. She was working through the agency. There's an agency we hired to essentially help us find a surrogate and help us through this whole process. They also then seek out to find surrogates and to help surrogates, people who want to be surrogates, with that process. She originally signed up to be a gestational carrier because her cousin was having a hard time having a baby, and she wanted to help. Our surrogate has two kids. They're 3 and 5, and she wanted to help her cousin. So she started going through this process, learning about it with this agency, testing her to see if she'd be a great candidate. She was, and then her cousin got pregnant, and it all went well, and she had a baby.
So she didn't need to.
She didn't need to, but she and her husband had read so much about the joys of surrogacy and what it can provide for another couple like Enrique and I. And they actually requested, they wanted to work with a male-male couple. And
really?
So we had a meeting, our surrogate and
face-to-face.
First it was over Zoom, and then the second one was face-to-face. We all sat down, the four of us, Enrique and I, her and her husband, and he plays a huge role in this too. He's super supportive. He also has to administer a lot of the medicine and the drugs that help get her ready to have and go through the surrogacy journey, which is a whole other
conversation. His wife's going to have a baby that they are going to give up.
Yeah.
I suppose it's a little easier that it's neither his nor hers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there's got to be emotions attached to all of that, and there's contracts attached to all that. There's a whole legal side of this that we are...
What's that like?
Well, first, it's the creation of the embryo and the idea of getting the surrogate in. There's rules and regulations about states she can go to or can't go to at certain points because of their rules about abortion or about surrogacy. Like Michigan, for right now, if your surrogate has a baby in Michigan, she could claim it's hers and she'd win. So at a certain point, our surrogate can't step foot into Michigan because every state has different rules about surrogacy.
Where does she live?
Wisconsin.
And do you know much about her? So she's a mom. She's got a couple kids.
We know a lot about her. I mean, we knew a lot about her and through her long profile that we read before we matched. But over the last 6 months, we've gotten to know her really well, her and her husband and her kids.
You chat online?
We have a group chat. Every day we text and talk about.
And how's the baby doing?
Yeah, like, and especially after the transfer date, which was way back in June, which is a whole other amazing moment to see and witness, and we get to be in the room when it happens.
Transfer day, what's that mean?
That means taking the embryo from the laboratory in the Petri dish. We watch them. They thaw it in the morning. We watch it go into the pipette. We see
really?
It on a camera. They have to show us that it did. They go in.
They have to show us that it did because you want certainty.
Yeah, we're the legal... Everything. It seems like cold and callous, these calculations that are made, but they're done for a reason. But we watched the pipette go in. We saw it on an ultrasound, a little poof, meaning the embryo
really?
And the liquid had been released inside.
Seriously.
And then what happened to us, which happens about 2 or 3% of the time, they pull the pipette out, they release the rest of it back into the Petri dish, and they double check that the embryo didn't stick inside the pipette. And aha, from the other room we hear, wait, the embryo's still here. We have to do it again.
In the pipette.
In the pipette. So they had to redo it again because these embryos naturally are sticky. They are built to be sticky, so they stick where they need to stick.
John, you've described for us a lot of players in this journey.
Yeah.
Labs, doctors, the donor of eggs, and the surrogate. I suppose everybody's getting paid.
Yep.
And for, say, at least the surrogate, that would be a motivation as well.
100%.
Is this expensive?
Yes. And the surrogate, you know, I was glad to see in her profile. I kind of wanted to know why she did it. She mentioned all those great wholesome reasons, but she also said she's paying off student loans and this would help with that. And for me, that's a great thing to hear. I kind of want to know a little bit about what that motivation is.
Why? What if it were gambling debt?
Yes.
Would you have felt different?
Yeah, yeah.
But
I think
even
would.
Then, but it's not like there's, even if there were a recessive gambling gene, it's not her genetic code.
No, it's not. Right.
You just want her to be a healthy, able carrier.
Right. And I think a good and decent person who, I mean, that was a hard decision too, but it was a no-brainer with her. And we really wanted her husband to be on board, to not be begrudgingly dragged through this.
Does insurance help you with any of the expenses?
It helped with maybe $1,500 of the embryo stage. Enrique and I are not a male-female couple. We do not get the same benefits on tax purposes of health code. Our insurance doesn't treat us the same as it would treat a male-female couple.
How do you feel about that?
Oh, I feel a couple different ways about that. Not great. The IRS doesn't...
But if a man and woman can't conceive, then insurance and there's other monies made available.
There's other money made available.
But if two men can't conceive, good luck to you on that.
Yep.
Or two women can't conceive, then then you're an outlier.
Yeah, I think two women would have different things because they'd be maybe using their eggs and that would be part of their body and their insurance would cover it, but not for us. So, yeah, no, I don't feel great about that, but it is what it is, and it wasn't going to get in our way to do what we ultimately wanted to do, and that's be dads.
You told me off the air how much this then all total is costing, and it would be prohibitive for some couples.
100%. We're very lucky to be in the position we are, and that's why 10 years ago, even as surrogacy was becoming more popular, I never thought I'd be able to do this, and then I was able to work five jobs for a long time and save up.
I would just share what side of a line it's on without being too specific.
Okay. It's over $150,000 all told.
And so you guys are able to afford this. The baby will be born in March.
Yes. And then the exciting part comes.
Which would be raising this child to adulthood.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I've told you off air, John, but I was moved one day. We were in the process of figuring this all out. And you gave this long speech on the radio about the numbers, about having a kid. And you talked about that in all the measurable ways, the money it costs and all that. Having
hours of sleep loss.
Yeah. That the having a kid obviously is detrimental to those numbers.
But then in every immeasurable way, your life gets better.
Yeah.
In every measurable way, your life gets worse. You'll have less money, less sleep. Your life will be taxed in ways it hasn't before. In every immeasurable way, your life gets infinitely better. How do you put a number on love and affection and care and bonding? And you're going to get all of that.
We're so excited. I heard you gave that speech. I mean, we were already, I'm not going to name the kid John Williams because of that speech. No, but we're thrilled. I mean, John, when you think about a couple decades ago, I mean, the hearts and minds had to change first in this country.
Yeah.
And then the science had to match here. I mean, we're lucky to be alive in the year 2024 and able to do this and become dads.
And that little boy is lucky to have two warm and caring parents, because think about that. The effort you've made to bring this child into the world is extraordinary. So congratulations to you both.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on, John, to explain this.
Well, I don't suppose this will be the last conversation we have. I can't wait to what's the due date?
March the 7th.
Okay, write that down. Good luck to you all.
Thanks, John.